Order in the court. Be seated.
It's time for Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt. Todd Marquardt, attorney at law in Texas. If you're a millionaire or a thousandaire, Talk Law Radio is now on the air. Call in with your business law question, your elder law question, veteran aid, Medicaid, build a business to get paid. 210-308-8867. Or ask a question online at marquardtlawfirm.com. That's M-A-R-Q-U-A-R-D-T, lawfirm.com. And now, it's Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt.
Welcome to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt. On the radio, on podcasts, on Facebook Live, and on YouTube. Also, you can search for older episodes on talklawradio.com. Today, we're going to be talking about Fiesta Law, all the laws that surround the event in San Antonio called Fiesta. And I have two experts with me today who have been living Fiesta for their whole life. They're natives of San Antonio, and they're going to give us the background of Fiesta and all the hidden gems that we need to know to have a good time and be safe during Fiesta, because protecting assets includes protecting your assets, yourself, and your family. And so I have with me Alex Vollmer. He's an attorney with Marquardt Law Firm. And Daniel Palmer. He's also an attorney and my law partner at Marquardt Law Firm. Before we get started talking about Fiesta Law, let's begin with prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the gifts and blessings that you give to us. Please forgive us for our sins, for our mistakes, for doing the wrong thing, or failing to follow your will. Please help Alex and Daniel and me give good information about Fiesta today. We pray that you would do all these things for the good of your people, for our own good, and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now it's time to discover your legal issue blind spots by listening to me talk about the law on the radio. So both of you have been on Talk Law Radio before. This is the first time that you've been on together at the same time. So this is extra special for me and for all of us listening today, because y'all have a whole backstory before joining Marquardt Law Firm. So they probably already know you as an individual, but tell us how you know each other.
So Alex and I met on the first day of law school back in, gosh, this 2007. Was 2007, summer of 2007. And first friends that we made, each of us in law school. And we've stuck together ever since then. We've been in both each other's weddings. And now we're working together. And so we can't get rid of each other, apparently.
Yeah, we're going to have to try and not get in trouble today.
So you were in the same section, I guess, at St. Mary's.
Yeah. Section
being,
A.
Being Palmer and Vollmer, we really liked sitting next to each other and frustrating our professors.
Yeah, it's a very similar sounding name.
The courts don't like us in the same place at the same time very much either. But
yeah. And you practiced in similar areas before joining the firm also. So tell us about that experience.
We were both started out working for the district attorney's office. I started in the criminal trial division, which is everything except what Daniel was doing was the family violence division. So I was trying DWIs, theft, trespassing, and Daniel was trying domestic violence cases. And then we both went and worked for the other side.
Yeah, so you did defense after leaving there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did defense. I did entertainment law, a couple of different areas. But yeah, personal injury for a bit. But finally landed on what I do love, which is the estate planning side.
Yeah, but we're going to lean heavily on you today, because I've been wondering about all the shenanigans that happened during Fiesta, and most of those turn out to be crimes, right?
Yeah, not a whole lot of estate planning done on the streets of Fiesta.
I just remembered. One of the very first trials I ever was second chair on was an resisting arrest charge at Nyosa. And it was colorful.
And Nyosa is
night in old San Antonio.
Yeah. And so did you win?
Yeah, we did. I was the prosecutor, though.
But resisting arrest usually goes with something else. So were they charged with something else?
The girl that was charged with resisting arrest was interfering with the arrest of another person.
Oh, okay.
And then they went to arrest her, and she resisted arrest.
So at first she wasn't the subject of arrest.
Correct.
And so that's a lesson, right, that we should inform the public about, that if the police are going to arrest your friend, maybe you should let them go ahead and do it.
It's never – you never want to – you never try anything in the street. That's what court's for.
The best thing that you can do as a friend is call a good attorney.
Yeah.
Oh, great. So there's that old adage, you might beat the rat, but you won't beat the ride.
Very familiar with that saying.
So just don't add on another charge of a resisting arrest.
Or don't pick up a felony to try to get out of a misdemeanor.
Right. Yeah. Those are great lessons that people probably need to learn.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the people during Fiesta aren't thinking clearly when they're arrested because of overindulgence.
Yeah, so that's another lesson, that watch what you drink. I would say have a plan before you get there about how many drinks that you're going to have. And so then that you don't have to decide that when you're already inebriated. You could say, well, I'm only going to have 3 drinks. I'm going to stay 3 hours.
Well, and also be aware of the environment that you're in, and that you can't control what other people are drinking. And in an environment like Nyosa, it can get very chaotic, you know, and before you know it, other people are doing things. And I mean, how many times have you seen people in court just going, I just got dragged into this?
Of course.
Like, yeah.
Of course. And a lot of people don't realize, too, kind of like that example that you were talking about of how one charge can turn into 2, into 3, into 4. You know, if you're drinking too much and, you know, you get an officer stops you, you're not in your
PI.
Right. You can get a public intoxication. If you resist, you can get a resisting arrest. If you push the officer, you can get an assault on a police officer.
You don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can just pile on all from having a few too many drinks.
Right. And another thing I wanted to bring up was to already know how you're going to get home. And you might as well start out by getting a ride there so that you don't have to confront the issue of leaving your car or whatever.
And during Fiesta, it really requires some planning because of the density of traffic. And, you know, like if you're going to Uber, you might not be able to get an Uber out of downtown. Like on Monday night during Battle of Flowers, there's no way.
Plus the surcharges.
Yeah, the surging.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you know, my wife and I have done in the past. I don't even drink alcohol, but I don't want to go park downtown during Fiesta. So we'll plan our Uber, you know, beforehand. So we'll schedule the pickup time in advance. Mm-hmm. And so we just know to meet at one spot at a certain time.
I did not know you could do that.
Makes things a lot easier.
There might be some shuttle services.
There are. We've done the park and ride before. We've done the one over at – I think it's the only one over at Crossroads. There might be more than that, which is also really nice too.
Yeah, it's a good service the city provides to keep everybody safe. Well, I want to get into all of the events of Fiesta, but I wanted to talk about the history because I'm not from San Antonio, and so when I got here – I was asking everybody what Fiesta is, and almost nobody knows. And so what I read from the city is that Fiesta originated in 1891 as a single event. I think maybe you said it was the
original Battle of Flowers with the Daughters of the Republic of Texas.
Okay. And now it's over 100 events across San Antonio, Bernie, Schertz, Windcrest, Balcones Heights, and Alamo Heights. And Alex, I think you were, before the show, talking about how does this compare with Mardi Gras. Well, the city says that Fiesta attracts 2.5 million residents and visitors. And it's 10 days. Is that what we said? And it contributes more than $340 million to the San Antonio economy each year. That's $3.6 million to city in sales tax and $188 million in spending by non-local visitors. So that's pretty interesting. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about all of the events and your favorite events. So we'll see you after the break.
Are you looking for reliable tax services? Look no further than Hector Sines with Liberty Tax Services, our valued sponsor here at Talk Law Radio. With years of expertise and dedication to excellence, Hector Sines ensures your taxes are in safe hands. Whether it's individual or business taxes, trust Hector Sines and Liberty Tax Services for thorough, accurate, and efficient tax solutions. Call Hector Sines at 210-764-5648. That's 210-764-5648 for all your tax needs.
Welcome back to Talk Law Radio with Todd Marquardt. That's me on the radio, on podcasts, on Facebook Live, on YouTube, and you can search for older episodes on talklawradio.com. I talk about all kinds of laws. I've talked with Alex about gun laws, about eminent domain. I've talked to Daniel about criminal laws. We talked about that mass shooting with the criminal psychologist. We also talked about entertainment law and
juvenile law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so now we're going to talk about all the laws that happened during Fiesta. And what I found out was there's an ordinance that sets all of this in motion where the city contracted with the Fiesta Commission to put on all of this stuff. There's a lot of organization that has to go into it. But regular people like you and me don't really see all the background things happening, that all the organization that has to take place. All we know are that there's these events. So what are y'all's favorite events?
You know, it's hard. That's always a hard thing to answer, and it changes fairly often. But I would say if I had to choose one, it's been the same one since I was a kid, which is the Fiesta Flambeau Parade, or the Night Parade, which is basically the last Saturday of Fiesta.
It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah. And yeah, the big thing about it is I think it's the largest illuminated parade in the country, I want to say. So it's a really big deal, and it's something that I actually don't think I've ever missed a year until COVID, when we didn't have it.
Oh, right.
But yeah, so I'm there every year.
And so think back to some of those experiences. What are some tips that would help somebody who's just for the first time going to try and experience that?
Map out where your seats are, where your bleacher seats are, wherever you're sitting before you get down there, and have an idea of where you're going to park before you get down there, because it's an enormous event. And so knowing, especially even if you're going to eat, like where you're going to be getting food, planning all of that out helps tremendously, because it's very, very easy to get lost.
Were your parents like the Griswolds, or was this all planned out and very efficient?
Yeah, so when it's a lot easier to get tickets to the different parades now. But I know, Alex, remember, you know, when we were growing up, I mean, you had to know people that had access to get tickets. So it was a lot harder. So when I was growing up, we would, you know, my parents and our family and a bunch of our friends, there's probably 40, 50 of us, would all get in one section together. And so that's how we would do it every year. It was always a big event.
And that probably made it easier.
Oh, yeah. A lot easier.
How about you, Alex? Have you been to that parade?
Oh, the Flambeau? That's the parade. I didn't actually go to the parade, but I was there for the parade the night I had my first date with my wife.
Okay.
Yeah. I've been to the Flambeau.
And what are some tips that you would offer?
Well, I have a different favorite event.
Okay, what is it?
It'd be the River Parade.
Tell us why.
The River Parade's put on by the group I'm a member of, the Texas Cavaliers. There's a lot of effort that goes into it. It's the main source of revenue for the Texas Cavaliers Charitable Foundation that supports children's charities across San Antonio. They've raised more than $8 million. It's completely put on by us. We get some help from, San Antonio River Authority with some of their barges, but it's just an incredible experience to be part of. And, but tips for that, a lot of the same tips that Daniel has. You got to plan out how you're going to get down there, how you're going to get back. Think about getting there either real early or, how late are you going to stay? But, if you're taking little kids, have provisions for keeping track of them because it gets crowded. Mm-hmm. And it is it's a production. It's an event.
It's a good point because it's, the River Parade's a lot smaller than the Flambeau Parade, but the spots are a lot more difficult to get to.
Yeah, it's
so
more.
So you have to plan it out.
It's more densely packed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's literally not as big, but it's as many people, mm-hmm.
Well, I went to Nyosa when my kids were little one time, and my tip is to bring snacks for the kids because you don't know how long it's going to take to get there, and you don't know when you're going to get to eat, really, because you have to stand in line.
Well, and if you've seen the way the chairs are set up, you can be like right on the edge of the river. You can get kind of locked in. Mm-hmm. You're not getting up till the parade's over.
Yeah. So bring snacks. My middle child, Thomas, he would get very angry if he was hungry. And so,
hangry.
I would bring bacon, from the morning breakfast, fruit bars, granola bars, anything that's easy to carry. Because then, nobody's having fun if the kids are crying.
Well, it's funny. When I was a kid, we didn't have iPhones and iPads and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of waiting around sometimes. If anything in Fiesta that's a big event, you got to get there really early to not make it a nightmare.
Yeah.
I also have another really good tip. My wife made fun of me and called me a nerd for doing this last year, but that's okay. It can be very difficult sometimes to find water, and especially to find water that is anywhere reasonably priced. And it really stinks, especially if you're at the parade, to have to get up and go look around for it. So
take your Stanley with you.
I took my Camelback.
Oh, nice.
With me.
Yeah, I have one.
Last year. And I got teased by my family, but I was the most hydrated person, at the Flambeau Parade. So
That's just a good idea in general, have a backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Daniel, tell us about, you were telling me the other day about your parents working at a booth at one of the events. What is that about?
Yeah, so you can volunteer to work different booths at Fiesta. The proceeds will go to different organizations. A lot of them go back, obviously straight to the city. But there are booths that are manned during Nyosa typically. It can be at other events, but that's the primary one that my parents were involved with. And so it could be you kind of don't know what you're getting. It could be chicken on a stick. I think their friends and them are doing it this year. They're doing Reuben sandwiches.
Do you mean you don't know what you're getting as the vendor?
As the vendor.
Oh.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're slinging?
You don't know what you're – what you're going to be selling. And so, it's been kind of this tradition, I guess, it's been going on. I know we found out earlier this week that our senior paralegal, I think it was her and her parents, did the same thing when they were growing up at Nyosa as well.
Yeah.
Everybody has Fiesta experiences. Mm-hmm.
I was asking everybody what their earliest childhood memory of Fiesta was, and Cheryl said making the shoebox of like a river or a float, a parade float. Did y'all do that?
Oh yeah, I think I had mentioned that to you before. In elementary school, we did the shoebox floats, and even when I was in preschool, we would create these floats, put them on like a little skateboard, and then tie the skateboard to the back of our tricycles, and we did a little parade at the school. So I mean, it's ingrained in you from a very early age.
My school never did that, and I feel like I'm going to have to go have a word with them because I feel like I missed out.
Well, what is something that you did way back then?
God, you know, I mean, look, I mean, we'd make cascarones and the big things I remember were like, maybe this sounds a little self-involved, but like I remember as a little kid, you know, like King Antonio coming to visit the schools.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the biggest production. And I mean, he was like the president of the United States, you know,
yeah.
And it's really weird because now I'm seeing people that are my age, people I know yeah. are King Antonio. I'm like, oh.
And so what the background about that? Who is, what is that position for?
Well, you know, it's voted on by the membership and sort of, you know, the head of the Cavaliers for Fiesta.
Oh, okay.
And you know, it's, you have to show leadership within the organization and you know, it's pretty hard to just throw your hat in the ring without any history of, you gotta help with the River Parade.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain where the El Rey Feo term came from?
No. I can't remember.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Do you know, Daniel?
I don't. I was curious.
But that's like another dignitary mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. the Fiesta.
Did it originate from LULAC?
It might have.
I can't remember. I don't want to. I don't know. Mm-hmm. The bottom line, I don't know. But yeah, El Rey Feo is sort of the alter ego for King Antonio, you know, and has a lot of the same kind of traditions.
And he would come visit the schools mm-hmm. as yeah. well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a satire.
Wait, and it's very much. Yeah. The Rey Feo tradition has. It's not a satire. The Rey Feo tradition has grown a lot since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, when I was little, I remember when the first time, oh, wait, Rey Feo, who's this new king, came to the schools. And so, but it's much more, you know, it's a much bigger deal these days.
You mentioned the cascarones. I was texting my inner circle about what are your earliest childhood memories. And my friend Rick said that his mom would poke a hole in the egg mm-hmm. and have it drain out. And then when Rick went to school and they finished the eggshells, she felt very embarrassed about how precise she had been with the pinhole in getting the egg out of the shell, because the hole that you have to make a bigger hole yeah. to put the confetti in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. And now I see what you're saying. That's pretty funny.
Yeah,
I guess I just, you know, I was in school back in the days when you probably wouldn't get expelled for having a cascarone.
Yeah,
I feel like those wouldn't fly in today's environment.
Yeah, and my friend Shannon, she said that her mom did the same thing, getting eggs and then cleaning them out. She remembered that whole mm-hmm. process. Well, nowadays you just go to HEB and you can buy cascarones.
No. You get your San Antonian license revoked for that.
Yeah, because that was.
Oh, okay.
It's like charging for chips and salsa.
We did the same thing when we were young, and it's funny because I, as we speak, there are eggs draining at my house.
Oh,
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
So that's a very big tradition.
Oh yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, look, yeah. In a pinch, nobody's going to yell at you if you buy cascarones from HEB, but
as long as they're from HEB and not Walmart.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll concede that.
What's another event that we haven't talked about yet that would be fun to go to? You mentioned something in the square.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Market Square is kind of the hub, you know, downtown. And there's performances. There's food. It's mm-hmm. it's sprawling, you know, throughout downtown, kind of with San Fernando Cathedral as the center point. But, yeah, it's really fun. And that's, you know, if someone's never been to Fiesta and they want a taste of
That's just a beautiful part of downtown.
It is. I think it's a great opportunity to like get the flavor of Fiesta. You know, you can go. It
you
starts
can,
in the
you
morning.
You can see where Daniel was married.
I was married at San Fernando Cathedral.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. And so yeah, it's fun. And another one that I did want to mention, because when my son, he's 9 now, but when he was much younger and we were going to Fiesta, we had wanted to take him to a children's event. And there was a great one that we had gone to called Fiesta de los Niños, which is just a specific kids event. And it's alcohol free. It's during the day. So it's a good event that I think a lot of people didn't know about, especially with kids.
I would like to recommend something that I think a lot of people don't know about is the Beethoven Manor Court, which is just fun.
I've been there.
It's like the closest thing to Bavaria you're going to get.
Yeah.
It's so close.
Even outside of Fiesta,
yeah.
It's cool to go to.
Yes.
Good food, too.
And where is that? How do they find it?
It's downtown. What street's it on? I can't remember. It's just Beethoven Manicure. You're not gonna mix it up with anything.
Yeah, Google Maps.
Yeah, it's a beer garden.
But do they have a special event for that?
It's called Fiesta? Drinking Beer.
No,
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's just show up and people are fiestaing there.
Oh, okay. Well, we got to take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the children's events and how to keep your kids and your family safe. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt here with Alex Vollmer, Daniel Palmer, and me, talking about Fiesta and the laws that somehow touch or affect Fiesta. And we have a caller. David, you're live on the air. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. Thanks very much for taking my call. I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. It's not about Fiesta.
Okay, go ahead.
Could you give, first of all, what interested you and the other gentleman there about getting into law? And could you give some tips to somebody about passing the LSAT?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I got into law because I couldn't pass calculus.
Lawyers are lawyers in part because they're not great at math, except patent attorneys.
But I started taking government classes and political science, and I found it so interesting, especially political theory, on if you were with people and you didn't have an organized society, how should you organize it? And so that's what got me interested in the law. How about you guys?
So kind of in a similar way, I started out in political science with the idea that I was going to work in politics. And when I was an undergrad at UT up in Austin, I worked with a lot of politicians. I worked on several campaigns. I loved it. But even though I loved the work, I found myself getting more drawn to the actual law portion of politicking. And I also realized that as fun as working on campaigns is, not sustainable for a long time. Mm-hmm. Hours are crazy. Mm-hmm.
Especially
can be very stressful.
Family. I remember you saying that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so that kind of led me into being interested in law and taking the LSAT, and here we are now.
Yeah. How about you, Alex?
I'm kind of an analytical person, and I like the puzzle. I like taking a Gordian knot, untangling it, laying it out, and figuring out the components and how things fit together and how to rearrange them. My first couple of weeks into law school, I just thought I made the right choice.
That's great.
Yeah. And then as far as passing the LSAT, you don't really pass the LSAT, but take a prep course and study. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Take a prep course and study.
That's a tip, David, is that you do need to take a prep course.
It's a game.
And prepare for it, because the types of questions, at least when I took it, were questions I'd never had on any mm-hmm. other test.
It's a game. It is a game to see what kind of pattern of the questions they like to ask. You play the game with the question askers. You'll notice they have a style.
And it's designed to see if you know how to think.
I think the LSAT is stupid, but it's still required.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that didn't get great LSAT scores that are fantastic attorneys.
Right.
And I think, for me, I definitely saw a turning point in my scores when I started really focusing on timed tests. Mm. Just retaking those and making sure that I timed it. Was so important because working within those time constraints is part of the difficulty of the LSAT, large mm-hmm. part of it.
Yeah, and you don't want to be worrying about it.
Yeah, David, thank you for the call. Where are you calling from?
San Antonio.
Okay. Well, thank you for...
I have one other question, if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
The two gentlemen there, I think they said they graduated from St. Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does it still have the – why does it have the reputation of not doing well in graduating or passing?
Well, there was an experiment before we got there where one of the deans didn't require an LSAT score in order to get admitted. That's the short history on that. I don't want to say anything else about it.
That's a can of worms.
But it's a good school, and we do well as attorneys, and we do good work for our clients. So the getting in is the first part. So we got to talk more about Fiesta, but thank you for calling. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks for all the information.
Take care.
Have a good weekend. Thanks.
Yeah. Hey, and if anybody else wants to call in to tell us your favorite event at Fiesta, we'd love to hear about it. You can call the radio station right now at 210-308-8867, or you can text Todd at 210-538-4770, 210-538-4770. What are some other kid events, kid-friendly events, that people could take their family to?
Yeah, you know, I've always thought, and this is kind of the way that, you know, my wife and I have done it with our son, is that, you know, kids can go to almost any event as long as you, you know, make the proper preparations beforehand. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a really cool event. The name is escaping me. It's over in the Deco District, in the Art Deco District. It might be called Deco Fest or Deco Fiesta that we, mm-hmm. we go to every year, that has a bunch of bands playing. There's a bunch of vendors that have food and art and stuff like that. Between that and the parades and even things like Oyster Bake, which do get crowded.
I wanted to mention Oyster Bake since that's at St. Mary's.
I can't make myself go. It's just associated with a lot of stress.
Yeah.
Because it happens right during finals.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, too. And I don't think that we took the kids, but I remember I bumped into somebody that was much larger than me on my way out, and I was glad to have been leaving at that time. You know, because some of those events can get a little rowdy.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, is especially for kid-centric things, daylight hours are probably your best bet. But, hey, I've seen plenty of daylight shenanigans during Fiesta. But
not as many.
Not as many, yeah. No.
I would say, it's funny, I had a friend actually ask me a couple weeks ago what I thought was the most controversial Fiesta event in terms of people's opinions on it, if they love it or hate it. And I would definitely say Oyster Bake. I mean, you can go ask one person, they'll tell you it's their favorite event, and ask the next person, they'll tell you it's the only event that they won't go to.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I went, there was several bands, you know, on different areas of campus, and then there were all these booths selling oysters.
I love Oyster Bake. You know, I go almost
every
year. You eat
the oysters?
I don't eat meat, but
You like the music, probably.
I love the music, and there's lots of good food there. And they have a really wide variety of music, which is cool. I mean, you can go to one stage and see, you know, conjunto. You can go to another one and see country. You could see jazz at another one, and all within, you know, a few steps of each other.
My issue isn't with Oyster Bake. It's with the associated memories of final exams.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess it's for people that don't know, it is right on St. Mary's campus. Campus. You have to walk past the law school, basically, to get to it.
And you have to fight with all the people showing up, like, to get to class.
Yeah.
You have to fight through them, like, in the parking lot. So.
Yeah. What are some other events that we should talk about?
Well, there's obviously, like, the Battle of Flowers Parade.
Where is that?
That goes right down Broadway on the Friday after the River Parade. That is the Fiesta. That's what started Fiesta, you know. So it's the Battle of Flowers. So that's kind of...
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because something else I would ask people when I first got here is, what is Battle of the Flowers? Mm-hmm. Is this where... Flowers, like, are in
1896 or something like that, when the Daughters of the Republic of Texas literally went out into the streets and started having a mock battle with flowers to commemorate the Alamo.
Oh, okay.
And that's how it started. That's how the whole thing started.
Just throwing, like, flowers.
Literally, yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. So we got Battle of Flowers. We got Nyosa. We got the Deco District. Got some events for kids. Yeah. What else is there?
I mean, there's the coronation. I don't know if you can get tickets to it now, though.
Yeah, there's the coronation, and then there's probably my favorite event. Coronation. Which is coronation, yeah, which is fun. Not for everybody.
In Helotes?
No.
That's the Corny Vol.
That's Corny Vol. No. Coronation is it's an event done downtown, and I have several good friends of mine that are involved in it.
Have an open mind.
Yeah, it's basically a satire of local politicians, of statewide politicians, of basically anyone who's in office, and they'll talk about like local San Antonio events, and it's a big production, almost like skits, mm-hmm. kind of like SNL, something like that.
It's kind of hard to get tickets.
It can be, yeah, but it's very fun, and it benefits a few different organizations. I know they're heavily involved with San Antonio AIDS Foundation, but it's a great event. Like I said, I have close friends that are involved in it, and they have their king every year. Instead of King Antonio, it's King Anchovy, and it's some local celebrity that will be King Anchovy that year. I know that.
Had to be Spurs Jesus at one time.
I think there might have been. I know that Charlie Gonzalez, the politician, was there 1 year, and there have been a bunch of people, restaurateurs, stuff like that.
Well, you may have heard Lexi barking at Mark just a minute ago because he made a noise. There's an event for dogs, but we got to take a break, so we'll talk about that after the break. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for reliable tax services? Look no further than Hector Sines with Liberty Tax Services, our valued sponsor here at Talk Law Radio. With years of expertise and dedication to excellence, Hector Sines ensures your taxes are in safe hands. Whether it's individual or business taxes, trust Hector Sines and Liberty Tax Services for thorough, accurate, and efficient tax solutions. Call Hector Sines at 210-764-5648. That's 210-764-5648 for all your tax needs.
9:30 a.m. The Answer.
Welcome back to Talk Law Radio. I'm Todd Marquardt here with Alex Vollmer, Daniel Palmer, and Lexi's over here taking a nap. And we're talking about Fiesta and law and our favorite events and some tips and tricks for navigating these events and having a good time. And because Lexi barked last segment, I wanted to talk about an event for dogs. I can't remember what it's called, the pup parade or something
like that.
The
pooch parade in Alma Heights, yeah.
Yeah. And I looked it up. I'm not going to be able to go. But you said that they wear costumes, or maybe it was Cheryl talking to me about that.
Yeah, so yeah, they wear costumes, and people will sometimes make like little floats for them, or what are they called? The little wagons, like yeah. they'll carry them in and decorate those. And it's just a funky, fun little event in the morning. I think it's on my birthday this year on the 27th.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, and so yeah, it's the same day as I think the King William Parade and the Fiesta Flambeau Parade. So. That's usually a busy day for us.
They have King and Barkio.
Okay.
Instead of King Antonio.
Well, we didn't talk about the King William Parade. How is that different?
Yeah, so that's one we go to. We go to that one every year.
Love that parade.
It's the King William Fair and the parade. And, you know, we're fortunate because getting down there is almost impossible. But mm-hmm. we have friends that live there, so we just hang out with them, but mm-hmm. it's basically kind of like just a small-ish, you know, community festival in the King William District, just south of downtown. They have a very small parade that goes through, and then they just have, you know, kind of traditional fair events there.
But they have some really interesting, I like the King William Parade because it's got that flavor,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, like, I remember one year I went, they had what, like the Lowrider Bicycle Club.
Mm-hmm.
That those were fantastic.
Yeah. I want to be a member of that.
Yeah, right?
Because I grew up during the time when that was invented.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the 90s, at least in southern New Mexico. Almost everybody had a lowrider bike.
Really?
I didn't. But I wanted one then, and I still want one. So I'm
now you know where to go check it out.
Look that up, yeah.
We could start a bike club.
There is, I saw on the ordinance for San Antonio that there was something happening at the Alamo Dome. What is that? Is that like where they have rides and stuff?
Yeah, that's where they do the big carnival downtown. Oh. So it's kind of like in the parking lot around the Alamo Dome.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you'd do at the rodeo.
Yeah, it's very similar to the rodeo, yeah. But with better food.
Cool. So what is some fair food or fiesta food that you really like that you always go back to and want to see if you can find it?
Yeah.
Churros. You just can't go wrong with churros. And any churros and coffee. Mm.
Yeah, that
Where
does
can
sound
I go get
good.
Some churros? Yeah.
Sorry we didn't have that for you. Maybe next year we'll have that set up for this.
I mean, chicken on a stick is kind of the classic.
Yeah.
Everybody gets that. I'm trying to think of what else. I mean, the baked oysters, you know, that's huge. Whether you like them or not, it's kind of a staple of Fiesta. But that's kind of the fun thing is that, I love getting like the really good Mexican corn. Like that's my personal
yeah.
favorite.
I've seen that, yeah.
But there's new stuff every single time you go, you know, new vendors. So it's, I don't know, it's an event every time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been talking about a lot of the events going on. And in the first segment, we talked about some of the crimes that occur and how to stay out of trouble. So we want to make sure that your legacy for Fiesta is not one of getting into trouble, but it's more of a legacy of we had a good time. Is there some tradition, family tradition, San Antonio tradition that you think should never change? That it should, it's almost sacred.
There's a lot, but you know, the first one that just popped into my head, cause I, I'm always the first one in my household that is saying, you know, as soon as we hit April, I'm like, where are our Fiesta wreaths? We have to get them ready, you know, to put all over. And so, my wife will typically make a new one every year. And so that's one that I love. And, you know, Alex and I, you know, live in the Alamo Heights area, and so we're fortunate that people celebrate hard in Alamo Heights for Fiesta. So, you know, you drive down and you'll see Fiesta wreaths and Fiesta decorations on almost every single house.
Is that like what Bria brought to the office and hung on the door in the reception area?
I'm going to have to see it, but if it's does it have like a bunch of streamers coming down?
Yeah, it's homecoming like, mom, it, but it's like bigger than life.
It'll basically look like a wreath made out of like cascarones and colors and streamers. And yeah, it'll look like a parade float. It'll look like, you know, it'll have like colors from Battle of Flowers. It'll have the classic San Antonio Spurs Fiesta colors in it, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's just, you know, natural to start kind of getting in that, you know, like I didn't remember picking out a Guayabera this morning. I think it just appeared on me because we're doing a Fiesta episode.
I'm just going to maybe second Daniel's Fiesta wreath and then just say, let's normalize Guayaberas in court during Fiesta.
Puerto Rico does it.
What is that?
The shirt.
We would like to be able to wear Guayaberas to court. So if any district court judges are listening, maybe talk to your fellow judges about that.
Yeah. Well, I think Hawaii is kind of similar in that.
Yeah.
When I was in Puerto Rico, I met an attorney, and he told me that it's proper court attire in San Juan, Puerto Rico. As long as they're long sleeve.
Everybody'd pass out.
Yeah.
What I also noticed in researching the law for this episode is San Antonio has a lot of laws that are exceptions to laws because of the nature of the event being so big.
Mm.
One of them is there's a law that says if you're drinking at a festival, it has to be in a paper cup. But then there was another exception to the law that says during Fiesta, you can drink out of an aluminum can. And then another one was you can't smoke at the parade. Mm-hmm. All of these things kind of make sense, but special provisions had to be made, and city officials had to vote on all of this to make it effective.
Oh, sure. I mean, it affects the county, too. I mean, the, you know, Alex remembers the county closes. The courthouse essentially closes during the latter part of Fiesta because of the lack of parking.
Basically, if you end up in court Fiesta week, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, and
because if you go to jail, you have to stay there until the next week.
Not necessarily. I mean, as an attorney, if you end up in court during Fiesta week, like on anything serious, you did not anticipate. And you're probably in front of a judge that's not a lot of fun.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is that, you know, it's not that the judges aren't working and the county's not working. Yeah. It's that they, because of the lack of parking, we can't have jury trials.
Yeah.
And so because there's no jury trial set, you know, it's basically a ghost town at the courthouse. Mm-hmm. It's just it's usually, you know, non-trial settings, minor things that are done. So everybody kind of tries to avoid, you know, going to work and just enjoying Fiesta.
Yeah.
And I mean, you'll
you
see
might
judges
as well,
and,
you know. Oh, yeah. No, they're still working for sure.
Yeah.
But to initiate something serious where you have to have people there all day, every day, you know, on jury duty, you're going to run into a lot of problems. People aren't going to show up for jury duty. And it's pretty, you know, you wouldn't want to do that to the citizens of Bexar County.
Yeah. And if you're in trouble because of the lack of participation in the system, nobody wants to work, it might be hard to get relief if you're down there.
I would say all of the critical infrastructure people, all of the officers, night mags, they increase during Fiesta.
Oh,
the problem is so do the people they're processing.
Yeah.
That's the slowdown, is the amount, the sheer volume. It's like, oh, you would have gotten out in 12 hours? Well, it's going to be 48, I mean, which is the max they can hold you anyway.
Because there's so many people getting into trouble.
You get in line.
Well, another variance in the law was to allow police officers that usually work in schools to help out during this time, to be officers on the parade route trying to keep people safe.
Interesting that they needed an ordinance for that. If they're T-Close certified, I don't know why you'd... Anyway.
That's a good point. It did mention...
T-Close.
...that you have to be certified.
Yeah.
But I guess to bring them out in the public, maybe they... Yeah. ...because they serve in a special role in the schools.
Yeah. T-Close is like a police officer's license, Texas Commission on Law Enforcement, something.
Something else is the trademark for Fiesta.
Oh,
did you know that the
registered
right? The official Fiesta Commission has trademarked the word Fiesta for San Antonio, because they don't want unofficial type events confusing the public. I guess. Does that make sense to you?
Funny how we were just talking about how uncorporatized it is.
Yeah, no, it is interesting.
Except
you know?
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah, except for that. And it is interesting because I was looking at the Fiesta website earlier and, you know, you had mentioned there's, I think, over 100 official Fiesta events. There's almost 300 unofficial Fiesta events that are listed. So, I mean, I get why they do it, you know. It's, but I'm also glad that people are, you know, taking advantage of all the folks coming in town and, you know, boosting the local economy. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for us as estate planning attorneys, I think that it's important to have your documents in place, have a will or a living trust, have a power of attorney, because sometimes tragic, bad things happen. And if you're going downtown into a situation where people are drinking, that's a risk. Some people say, well, I'm going to do my will when I turn 55.
I've heard that.
Well, if you're going to put yourself and your family at risk by going to some entertaining event, you should prepare ahead of time.
Estate planning is just like investing. The right time to start was yesterday. I don't care what you're – if you're over 18, if you have an estate.
Yeah, it's a responsible thing to do.
Yeah. It's not just about you.
And it's about your family, mm-hmm. your kids.
Of course.
You know, naming a guardian.
Your spouse, who are you leaving holding the responsibility of – you know what? Or to me, the worst is what if something happens to you and you don't pass away, but you are
incapacitated.
That's what I was going to say. Powers of attorney are going to be incredibly important during Fiesta, and a medical directive is going to be incredibly mm-hmm. important during Fiesta. Mm-hmm. I mean, God forbid, but
because nobody plans to be in an accident,
right? Well, like you say, it's a risk going to these events. It's a risk going to the corner store. Yeah. You know, a small risk.
And something that we didn't really talk about, is driving around. Even if you're not drinking any alcohol, there's going to be other people that are drinking and driving.
That's the thing. That's the thing. That's like why my dad said it was always so dangerous to be on a motorcycle. You know, you don't control the other drivers. Mm-hmm. You can be the most careful motorcycle driver in the world.
Yeah. You heard it here on Talk Law Radio. Thank you for joining us this morning. We hope you've learned something. We'll talk to you later.